You're listening to the La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast. Hello, you're listening to the La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast, and I'm Laura Kane. I don't usually host this podcast. It's Monique Ramsey who hosts it, but she is out because she has no voice, and she may be out for a few weeks, so you might have to deal with me. But if you don't know who I am, I used to work with Jeff and Jer, and now I'm on Star and other various radio stations. I have a podcast too, and I have a big time patient of La Jolla Cosmetic. I've had so many things done with my friends over there. And the most recent thing I did were threads, which I am in love with. And I'm sure Monique has another podcast all about thread. In fact, I know she does. I also got a breast augmentation in September, and there's like a three-part podcast about that too. So I'm very familiar with the whole cosmetic surgery world. So I'm honored to be hosting this podcast today. And our guest is Dr. Kirsten Riedler. Dr. Riedler, you are new at La Jolla Cosmetic. Talk about who you are and what kind of doctor you are.
Hi, thanks for having me. So I am a facial plastic surgeon. And I'm actually originally from San Diego. I was born at Scripps La Jolla, grew up here, and then went away for school. I went to Harvard for undergrad. I went to USC in LA for med school and residency. And then I did an extra fellowship in facial plastic and reconstructive surgery at UC Davis. And now I'm here. I've been in San Diego for a few years now, but I'm really glad to be back here in my hometown, and I'm really excited to be joining the team at La Jolla Cosmetic Surgery Center. We just really have a great team, and they have an amazing practice. I personally think it's the best one in San Diego, and
me
that's
too.
Why I'm here.
Me too. And you have some really great learning under your belt. I mean, yeah. We went to Harvard. My daughter and I did a tour of Harvard. She thought she might want to go there, and it is outstanding.
Yeah, and I loved it back there.
Very, very exclusive. I mean, you have to be incredibly smart to be in Harvard plus USC. Anyway, so I'm very impressed. But what we're really going to focus on today is septoplasty. And if you've never heard of septoplasty, what exactly is that?
So the septum is a wall of bone and cartilage that separates the two sides of the nasal cavity and the nostrils, and it's one of the fundamental supporting structures of the nose. So septoplasty is surgery to straighten or correct a deviated septum, which is a crooked septum that is shifted towards one side of the nasal cavity that can potentially cause blockage of the nasal airway, or also deviation of the bridge or the tip of the nose.
How does one know if they have something going on with a deviated septum? And how do they know if they need a septoplasty?
Depending on what part of the septum is crooked, it can cause breathing problems or cosmetic problems or potentially both. And so patients often will complain of difficulty breathing through one side or both sides of the nose. Really, the only way to know for sure if you have a deviated septum is to be examined by a specialist like me. But that might be a tip off, you know, if you have either a crooked nose or you're having trouble breathing through your nose, it may be due to deviated septum.
Does this affect the outward appearance of your nose?
It can. So the septum actually kind of goes right up to the nasal bones. And so a crooked septum can actually make you have a crooked nose externally as well.
If somebody wanted to just get their septum, their deviated septum fixed and not change the structure of their nose on the outside, can you do that?
Typically, that's possible. It depends what part of the septum is crooked. So if the part that's further back that just affects the breathing more so is crooked, then a septoplasty alone without changing any of the external appearance of the nose is a great option. If the part that's crooked is closer to the outside of the nose, especially if it's a part right in between the nostrils, then sometimes you actually do need to do what's called a septorhinoplasty surgery to change the shape of the nose and the internal septum in order to straighten it.
If a person wanted to change the inside of their nose as well as the outside structure, say get a nose job, is that two different surgeries?
So it's better if it isn't two different surgeries. Potentially, it can be done as two different surgeries. However, I always recommend to patients that if they need a septoplasty and want to change cosmetically the appearance of their nose, that they do it together as a septorhinoplasty surgery, because it's less time under anesthesia, it's less recovery, and it also makes my job easier, because if I am going to do a rhinoplasty on somebody who's already had a septoplasty, there's probably going to be less cartilage available for grafting, and there's already going to be scar tissue. And so I think for the best outcome in terms of breathing and appearance, it's ideal to do the two surgeries together. It's important to go to a surgeon who is board certified in plastic surgery or facial plastic surgery, because they have special expertise in septorhinoplasty surgery and know what they're doing, essentially.
Can all plastic surgeons do septoplasty?
So septoplasty alone is typically done by an ear, nose, and throat surgeon or facial plastic surgeon, whereas rhinoplasty is usually done by a plastic surgeon or facial plastic surgeon.
Okay.
So I am an ENT and facial plastic surgeon. So I've done a lot of septoplasties, a lot of rhinoplasties, a lot of septorhinoplasties. And I think that my experience dealing with surgery inside of the nose and including sinus surgery, septoplasty, nasal reconstruction helps me a lot as a rhinoplasty and septorhinoplasty surgeon, because I have a really good understanding of the nasal structure inside and function inside and out.
Okay. As a former user, I've been 15 years clean, but I know a lot of people in my program who have used so much over the years that they've damaged the inside of their noses. Do you see that a lot from like cocaine use? Does it damage your inside of your nose badly?
Yeah, I do see that fairly frequently. What cocaine does is it shrinks the blood vessels and reduces the blood supply to your septum. And so it can cause that tissue to basically disappear over time, resulting in a hole in your septum, or what we call a septal perforation. Definitely not everybody who's ever used cocaine or even heavily used cocaine is going to end up with that, but it definitely can happen. And it can cause problems like crusting or dryness, mucus buildup, bleeding. And it can also potentially affect the appearance of your nose and cause a deformity called a saddle nose. So that's something that can be fixed.
Oh, I was going to ask you, can it be fixed?
Yeah, it usually can. If a perforation is more than 2 centimeters in size, generally we aren't considering that patient a candidate for repair. But if it's smaller than that, which usually it is, it can be fixed.
Okay. I always thought that getting a nose job or anything to do with the nose is the most difficult part of the face to work on. Is that true? Is it the most difficult kind of surgery of the face?
It is a pretty complex structure because of all of the small parts involved. There's small bones, cartilages, skin, soft tissue. And it's important to consider not just the appearance, but also the function. So it does make for a pretty complicated area to work on. And because it's, you know, the center kind of most prominent part of your face, it's an important feature that is going to affect the appearance of your face and also your quality of life because of its function in breathing and moisturizing the air and all of that. So I don't know if I can say it's the most complicated part, but it's up there for sure.
Yeah, because everybody's just so different. But do you use ear cartilage or rib cartilage to fix the interior of the nose?
So the septal perforations, the holes in the septum, that's definitely a case where we would usually need rib cartilage to fix it. In other cases, it really just depends on the patient. It's going to be more often revision cases, or in patients who want to augment the nasal bridge, that we would need rib cartilage or ear cartilage. But definitely when somebody's had surgery before, or they just need to build up the outside of the nose, we like to take cartilage from the ear or the rib, because it's a natural source for grafting as opposed to silicone or some other foreign object.
I watch a lot of the shows like, what's the one called? Botched.
Yeah.
Where they show it really in depth. I mean, they show the nose job. And I think a lot of people get scared or maybe scared. Maybe they are having trouble breathing and they know they need to get something done, but they're terrified. Like you're going to lift up their nose. It's going to look all weird and it's going to take forever to recover. Is that true?
Rhinoplasty and septorhinoplasty is a small area and it's a lot safer than other major surgeries. There's not a lot of blood loss. You can walk and move around after. You don't need to stay in the hospital after. So even though it looks very dramatic on TV,
it does look dramatic.
It's really not scary. And recovery is really not all that bad. You have some swelling and bruising for a week, but after that, even though you'll have some swelling, you can go outside and nobody's going to look at you like something's like something okay. just happened.
If somebody were to think, okay, I think I'm into this. I like it. I want to look more into it. Should they Google it? Or where would you send them to look for more examples and maybe some visuals?
Mm-hmm. The Academy website. So the websites for the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, the American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeons, those are typically good places to go for reliable information that's really helpful for patients. Some other sources may or may not have good information. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know. So I always like to recommend those sources.
And do you have to have this surgery done again? Or is it one and done?
Typically, it's one and done. On average, the revision rate is about 5%. So maybe one in 20 patients undergo revision surgery, but typically it's a one-time thing.
Okay. And besides maybe like an accident or maybe being hit in the nose or something or cocaine use, what else causes deviated septums?
Usually it's just congenital. Everybody has some amount of facial asymmetry. And so that might contribute to it or potentially birth trauma. Generally, your septum is fully formed by the time you reach adulthood, and the septum won't change a whole lot after you reach adulthood, but the outside of the nose can change with age.
I know. I'm dying to ask you questions about rhinoplasty and the nose, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I'll ask you one question.
Okay.
So I've noticed that the older I get, the more prominent my nose gets, and it's like becoming wider. I have a very wide nose bridge as it is, but is that true? Does that happen and why?
So the nose doesn't grow as we age, but the structure of it does change to some extent because the cartilage loses collagen and elastin. It becomes more sort of floppy or like yeah. saggy. Mm-hmm. And then the skin also gets thinner, less elastic. And so the nose tends to droop a bit as we age and flatten and can appear bigger as we age, even though it's not actually growing.
Do you think Michael Jackson had any kind of interior nose structure at all at the end?
Probably very little.
Because once that's gone and once you don't yeah. have that, you have no nose, right? It's important.
Yeah. I have done cancer reconstructions and cases where basically a patient has no nose and we rebuild a nose from their own tissue. But
that must be so satisfying.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Really cool to see that.
Yeah.
So what is recovery like? How long does it take to fully recover from a septoplasty?
So you have typically splints on the inside of the nose that are soft rubber for about a week. And those come out your first post-op visit.
Does that hurt?
Not really. It's a little uncomfortable, but it's really quick. And people usually are pretty happy when they can breathe,
right.
especially if it's for the first time. So it's generally an overall positive experience.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm sure. Like anything I've ever had done cosmetically at La Jolla Cosmetic has been an awesome experience. Even the needles. I don't even, yeah. I love it. It's like, bring me in a big bowl full of needles and I'm fine with it.
Yeah. We definitely make you comfortable.
In the end, it's going to yeah. look so awesome. And yes, you do make us comfortable. And with COVID still kind of lurking around, do you do virtual consultations for a septoplasty?
Yes, we can do virtual consults. Definitely before signing somebody up for surgery, I'd want to take a look in their nose. But as a first visit, we definitely offer virtual consults.
So how many visits are we talking? Like the initial online visit and then the in-person looking at the nose and then the surgery?
And then usually we have you come in for a pre-op visit.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. To go over all the instructions and get you ready for surgery.
And then post-op.
Yeah. And then the post-op.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say to anybody who may be considering getting septoplasty?
If you have a deviated septum and you've been thinking about changing the shape of your nose, septorhinoplasty is a really good option. And it isn't scary. Like I said, it's a really safe surgery. It's outpatient. So there's definitely nothing to be afraid of. And it's not as dramatic as you see on TV.
And think how much better you're going to feel and breathe and all that oxygen to your brain.
Yes.
It's going to really help you.
I mean, patients after surgery are really happy. I saw a patient a week or two ago who said it's like a whole new world because she never knew that she could potentially breathe like that through her nose. And yeah, patients say that all the time.
I think that's it with any kind of cosmetic surgery. It's life-changing in the best way. It just helps your whole outlook on life. I mean, I got a breast augmentation. How's that going to change my life? But it did. Things feel better. I'm more confident. I'm getting more things done. Like, it sounds weird, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it changes your overall sense of self and self-confidence. And yeah, it has a huge effect on your life.
And the only place you want to get it done is La Jolla Cosmetic. Trust me. Trust me. And Kirsten Riedler, thank you so much for being on with us. I know that you are very busy. So we really appreciate it. And welcome to La Jolla Cosmetic. We hope that you're here forever and ever. And
thank you so much for having me. It was great to talk to you and see you because I've heard you on the radio for many years. So I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity.
When you were like 14, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Jeff and Jer.
Oh my God. You know you're old when your doctor's younger than you now. Oh gosh, that hurts. But no, thank you. I appreciate it. And if you're listening today, or if you love the LJC podcast, or if you've learned something from it, if it helped you make a decision, tell your friends and write a review of the show. We love our reviews at La Jolla Cosmetic. We have over 5,000 five-star reviews. So go ahead and read some of those reviews if you're interested in getting something like this done. If you have any more questions or you want to do scheduling or something, just go to the website. It's glamfam.com is where you go. And there's like a treatment planner on there too, where you can figure out other things you might want to get done. So thank you for listening to the La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast. I'm Laura Kane, the fill-in for Monique Ramsey, who usually hosts this. And thank you, Kirsten Riedler. Have a great day.
Thanks so much.
Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code PODCAST to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more at La Jolla Cosmetic. La Jolla Cosmetic is located just off the I-5 San Diego Freeway in the ZyMed building on the Scripps Memorial Hospital campus. To learn more, go to ljcsc.com or follow the team on Instagram at ljcsc. The La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.